We're honored today to have some young blood here. That was a prayer of Pastor Don's this morning, that he was praying that a good, healthy church has a mixture of everything, from top to bottom, from white to black, everything in between, right? They have pretty people like me, ugly people like Sammy, you know, just a complete mix of everything. But here we're honored to have one of our youngest teacher up here this morning, right? He may be young, but he has a lot of wisdom for his age. Amen? Amen. So,
I don't know about that.
Honestly, the young man is an excellent teacher, and we're honored to have him here this morning. So without further ado, and this is going to be an excellent topic. He said he was going to speak a little bit on weakness. And when he said that, he looked at me, so I guess it's something about me here. I don't know. But again, we're honored to have him here this morning, and whatever word he has, we know it's a word from God. All right? Who would like to pray for him this morning? Who would you like to pray for you to start out?
That's a good question. Sammy.
Sammy, come on.
All right, Father, we just lift up Matt before you, Lord God, and we just thank you for the word that you've already put on his heart, and we just pray right now that it just comes forth, Lord, and it just sparks something in each one of us, Lord, to be changed and to run after you faster and faster. Yes. We just give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
How loud it is this time. I'm going to start out by giving a little background on how I came to what I'm talking about in my topic. And I don't really know why, but it seems like every time I do a teaching, this is what I start with and give you a background. I don't know if that's God humbling me and making me show you guys how I got there, that it wasn't easy and it wasn't a pretty thing, that it was a lot of me rejecting things and a lot of me running away from certain things that he wanted me to talk about. So I'll start out by giving you a little background on it. So after my last teaching, I kind of had mixed emotions about it, which I'm sure the teachers in here and people that have done teachings can relate to, in the fact that I was glad that I had done it, and that I knew that it had really blessed me, and I knew that I had grown in a deeper relationship with Christ, and I knew that he had given me a better understanding of his word. But on the flip side of that, I was also very, very, very relieved that it was done. And that I didn't have to stress about it anymore. I didn't have to worry about it anymore. And I know that probably sounds bad, you know, talking about sharing the Word of God and studying it and getting a deeper understanding of it. But I just felt like I needed to be honest and say that I was relieved that it was done. And I was like, okay, I can relax and don't have to stress about it anymore. And, you know, I can come home from work and I can just relax. I don't have to say, okay, what am I talking about? How do I put this together? What's the next point that I have? I can just relax. And that feeling and that emotion lasted for a whole week, I think, because he gave me about a week before he came back up to me again and said, hey, what do you think about, I think he first said, what do you think about May or something like that? And I was like, okay, that's like a little over a month away. Can't you give me, you know, a little time to recuperate and give me a little bit of a break? And he said, and then after that, it got pushed back to now, which is the end of July, which I'm kind of grateful for. At my first, like I said, my first thought when he came to me with that was, really, I just did this, and this is like this will be my third or fourth one that I've done. And you know, and also what came to mind is, you know, there's a lot of other teachers that haven't done one of these in a while. That I'm looking at you, and guys that hadn't even had a chance to do one of these yet, I think would do a very good job at it. And I was like, hey, maybe if I suggest you know, some names to him, he'll take those and kind of go with it, and he'll leave me alone. And you know, the second thought that came to my mind after my, you know, little mental freak out there was, okay, fine. You know what? I've done these before. I think this is like my fourth one. I'm not sure on that, but okay, I can do this. It shouldn't be that hard. It'll be fairly easy, and I'll just prepare for it like I always do, and then I'll do it. Well, that was wrong, because this teaching for me was probably the most challenging one that I've done, at least to put together wise, and even challenging in my spirit also. So that kind of brings me to my title, and the title of this message is "It's Time We Get a Little Weaker." So about 3 weeks ago is when I actually really started to, you know, pray about it and think about what I was going to talk about, because you know when you have a big gap, somebody's like, okay, I need you to teach in 3 months. You're not going to think about that teaching for 3 months. You're going to think about it a week or two, or in this case, three before. Sometimes even a day or two before. You don't think about it, and then you're like, oh, shoot, I kind of have to do that, and I should probably be a little bit prepared for that. So in trying to figure out what I was going to talk about, weakness was something that God had put on my heart and spoken very clearly to me right away. And you know, you'd think that if you hear something from God and you know that it's God and that it's very clear what you should be talking about, you would take that, you'd run with it, and you would just say, okay, God, what do you have for me in this, and why do you want me to talk about this, and how am I going to do it? Right? I mean, but that's not what happened. I said, no, I don't think so. And I remember saying that when God spoke to me and told me about weakness. I remember saying, no, that's not even a road that I'm wanting to go down. That's not going to happen. You're going to have to figure out something else. I kept going on trying to figure out something to talk about, and you know, trying and failing miserably to speak on other things and to write about other things. And I kind of came to a point where I was like, it was, I think, what, a couple days ago, I think Thursday, and I had kind of, it had come back in my mind, and I kept constantly getting reminded about weakness, and I kept rejecting it and rejecting it. And then I think it was Thursday night, I was kind of at the end, I'm like, it's a couple days away. Shouldn't you have given me something else to talk about by now? And I don't know about you guys, but it's funny how God speaks to me. It's, some people say that the way God speaks to them is kind of subtle and it's kind of difficult to understand sometimes, but when God wants to speak to me, he knows that I'm so hard-headed that he has to speak in the most plain English possible. And I hear it in the most plain English possible. And he kind of said to me, and through my whining about not having something, he said, okay, you done? Oh, you've got some more. Okay, keep going. And then once I finally was like, once he asked me, am I done, and I finished, he said, okay, I don't know what you're whining about, because I already gave you what you're going to talk about a long time ago. And I've brought people and things in your life to remind you of that, to confirm that, but you've constantly rejected that. So you have two options. You can either do what I say, talk about weakness, and everything will go well and I'll speak through you. Or you can go up there, find something else to talk about, and you'll probably end up falling on your face. It's up to you. You have two options. And so when it finally comes to that point, it seems like for me, it's like, okay, fine. Weakness it is. That's what we're going to talk about. But it took that much pushing to get me to that point. And like I said, I don't know why I talk about all this in my teachings usually, but like I said, I think it's God humbling me and making sure that I know that it wasn't in my strength that I do these things. So the verse that I kind of wanted to base this off of is 2 Corinthians 12:9. It says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest in me.'" So, taking the time after I came to the point where I was going to talk about this, in meditating on weakness and kind of thinking about what direction I should go in. What kind of first stuck out to me and my first thought was, okay, let's focus on the weaknesses in our life that are good things and that needs to be strong, that God's put there and they're not as strong as they need to be. Let's focus on those. Let's pursue those and let's make those stronger. I mean, it made sense to me, and I'm sure it would make sense to everyone here, and just to work on those areas. And normally that's, like I said, normally that's the way we would think about it. But through continuing in prayer and studying more and more, he began to give me a new perspective on that verse and on weakness in general. He began to show me that to effectively make our weaknesses stronger, we need to weaken the strongholds of our flesh. Because, so he began to show me strongholds that we as Christians face in our own flesh, and I began to write those down. And I literally, for 5 minutes, is all it took for me to write down probably 50 things that I had in a note. And obviously, there's not enough time to go through all of them, but he kind of gave me these 3 points that I want to touch on today that really kind of stuck out to me. And the first one was pride. Now, pride is something that I think everyone in here can relate to, that they've dealt with in certain situations, especially if you're a man, especially if you're a guy. Pride is something that can well up very quickly and can definitely be a stronghold in your flesh. And he began to just show me that the pride that I'm not, and let me just stop there for a second. I'm not talking about the pride that where you are proud of the work that you've done, or you take pride in your job and the work that you do every day in it, or the pride that you have in your children that they go down the right path, or they make the right decision, or they excel at, say, sports or something like that. That's not the pride I'm talking about. The pride I'm talking about is the pride that keeps you from humbling yourself to serve others, and the pride that keeps you from apologizing to someone that you've wronged, and it just won't allow you to come before someone and say, or even your pride a lot of times can stop you from coming before God and repenting for something that you've done, or someone that you've wronged, and submitting fully to God. And you know, God began to show me that pride is a very dangerous, very, very dangerous thing. And he brought to me these verses. In Proverbs 16:18, it says, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit goes before a fall." And in Proverbs 10:4, "In all his pride, the wicked man does not seek God. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God." Think about that for a second. The words that are used here, destruction, in all his thoughts, not just most of his life was consumed, in all his thoughts there was no room for God. Those are some pretty heavy words, some pretty serious words, and it gives you a pretty good example of how pride can be one of the biggest downfalls of people in the church. Whether it's being offended by someone, and instead of bringing reconciliation to that situation, you cause division, you go and spread rumors about them, or you gossip about them, and your pride's been hurt so much that you won't even give them the time of day. Or the pride that you're unwilling to, if you've done something wrong, you're unwilling to take discipline, whether it be in the church or in a job or anything. You're unwilling to take that discipline and make the necessary corrections. And it ultimately, a lot of times, especially for us Christians, and we should probably be talking about us Christians because we are Christians here and this is a Bible study, is that a lot of times that pride can become such a big deal and such a big stronghold in our lives that, and we've seen it in this church many times, that it becomes so strong that it causes you to not submit to God's authority, whether it be in the church or God himself, and they end up leaving this church because somebody said something to them that they didn't like, or they were brought under discipline and they didn't want to take that discipline, so they left. And you see that once they do that, everywhere they go, they cause destruction and they cause problems. And we've Bob and Pastor Don have talked about it before, that when somebody leaves our church or leaves a church and goes somewhere, they under bad circumstances they end up causing problems other places because that pride gets in the way and they weren't willing to submit themselves.
I make one fast comment. That first scripture you used, I think is a great scripture. Read it one more time, please. The first one, I'm sorry.
Proverbs 16:18.
Yes, yes.
Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit goes before a fall.
How many people, if I had asked beforehand, said that you've heard the quote out of the Bible that pride goes before a fall?
Anybody ever hear that?
Somebody say that to you? Well, that's a lie from the devil.
Several pastors,
I've heard it on TV and stuff of pastors say that. That's not the word. That is Satan. Why? Because you can get up from a fall, right? You fall down, you get up. It said a haughty spirit goes before haughtiness. You can get up from pride. Destruction means a complete awayness from God. God is no longer part of your life. And that, there is no getting up from destruction. If something's destroyed, it's not coming back, right? A fall we get up from. That's how devastating pride is in our life. I just wanted to make that point. That is an excellent point that you made there. Nothing is worse than pride in your life.
And like I said, and the pride I'm talking about is a pride that can become so strong in your flesh, and I've experienced it also, that, and God kind of brought this to me, and it was something that he said to me, is strength apart from me is an illusion. And that really stuck out to me because, like I said, pride can make you think you're strong and make you think that you're invincible and you can do whatever you want and you can do it on your own. But God says that pride apart, that strength apart from God is an illusion. It's not real. It's what's, I don't know how the saying goes, what is it? Like an inch, a mile wide but only an inch deep. That's what your strength is without Christ. And I don't know about you guys, but relying fully on you know, human strength and human, and not having enough room, where it says, in all his thoughts, there was no room for God. That's not a place that I want to be. I don't know about any of you, but that's definitely not a place that I want to be, where I am filled so much with myself and with things in this life that there's no room for Christ. There's no room for God. And pride will make, this is kind of going to all come together at the end, but pride will make your humility weak. It will make you weak in humility. And I guess I probably could go around the room and everyone would say, yes, humility is a good thing. And humility is a good thing. Pride is what makes your humility weak. If you have trouble being humble, or if you have trouble serving or making reconciliation in a situation because your pride is too much, pride is making your humility weak. And so, kind of jumping off of that, my second area that I wanted to kind of talk about was worry. And this was one that kind of didn't make sense to me at first, why I would talk about this, but in diving more into it and studying it more, I began to understand it more, and through that, it kind of hit close to home for me in a lot of areas. Worry can be a sneaky one when you talk about, since I'm talking about strongholds in your flesh, worry can definitely be a sneaky one, I think, and I'm going to kind of explain why. Something that came to mind, like I said, it wasn't something that came to my mind right away, but through meditating on it, God showed me how worry had affected me in my life that I didn't even really realize and had robbed things from me in my life in relationships with people, and I didn't even really realize it until I dove into this. The first one that there was quite a few examples, but I wrote down a few of them, and one of them was not speaking out against things in certain situations in my life that I knew were wrong, that there was no doubt they're wrong and that there should not have been done. Second was not share was one I think that everyone in here has struggled with one time or another, is not sharing your faith with someone when I knew that God had placed me in that particular situation at that particular moment to share my faith, and because I was worried about them thinking that I was weird or that they wouldn't accept it and that they would just kind of shrug me off, I didn't do it and I backed down. Third was one for me is that not applying for a job because I was worried that I couldn't pass their testing, and I was worried that I wasn't good enough to be in that career, and I had no business being there. And the last one I had was not asking someone or not going for counseling with someone that you trust and that is a believer in Christ, not asking them for help in fighting a sin that is keeping you from a deeper relationship with Christ. And being too afraid and being too worried that they would, if they knew what you were dealing with or knew what you had done, that they would think less of you and that they wouldn't see, like, they wouldn't see you in the same light and the relationship would never be the same again. They would think you were a terrible person. But through that, like I said, he brought all these things back to my mind, and it's amazing when God opens a door for you and reveals things to you, what goes through your mind, because there was a lot more than just those things, and I could go in depth on each one of those things that I brought up, on situations in my life. I'm sure everyone, you know, I'm sure we could all take, if we took just a minute to think about what worrying has taken from you, and worrying too much about something that it caused you to not do the right thing or not do what you knew was right in a certain situation, or not do something that could have benefited you or benefited somebody else because you were worried about everything else going on around you and everything else that may happen. And I think the reason why worry, and God kind of showed me this, the reason why worry can be such an effective weapon for the devil is that a lot of times fear is disguised as worry. He deceives you into thinking that, oh, you know what, it's okay. I was just a little worried about that. That's fine. That's why I didn't do this or this. That's why this didn't happen. But in reality, you were afraid, and you let that fear cripple you, and you didn't even realize it. In Matthew 6:25-28, it says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, or what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and your body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, they do not reap, or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you now much more valuable than they? Can anyone, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" Worrying will keep you from the peace and the confidence in Christ that God has given you through His Holy Spirit. And like I said, a lot of times, the reason why it's so effective a lot of times is because it is fear disguises worry. And if you think about it, if you replace all that, what I said was I was too worried for this, I was too worried for that, if you replace that with fear, all of a sudden in our minds it becomes a more serious thing. Problem is that's what it was all along. And the enemy deceived you into thinking that it was okay, that the reasons why you didn't do those things. But in reality, what it was is him robbing you of those things by making you too afraid to step out, or making you too afraid to speak out. And so the third one that I want to talk about was unforgiveness. And this one was kind of interesting for me, because it was really one that worry was a little bit of a stretch for me. Unforgiveness was a lot of a stretch for me at first. When I started talking or started meditating on this, and it was, at first it was kind of one of those things where I was like, okay, I can't really relate to this. It doesn't make sense to me. So how am I going to portray this to everyone else and make it believable and make it real? And God spoke to me again. And remember how I said God speaks to me in plain English? Well, he did again. He said, okay, really? That's what you think? Okay, let me show you. And so I quickly realized through him showing me that was not true, that I had unforgiveness in my life that I didn't even realize was there. And he began to bring back to my mind situations that I had never forgiven people for. And people in situations where people had said something to me or about me or done something that they shouldn't have. And even situations where I thought I had forgiven them, there wasn't any forgiveness there. And of course, after that, I'm very, very hard-headed and very stubborn. So I start saying, okay, let me explain to you why I didn't forgive them of that. Let me explain to you why that was never resolved. And I started listing off all the reasons and all the facts of the situation, you know, just in case he didn't know. And making sure he was aware. And you know, I thought that was a good thing. Making sure that he was aware of all the facts of the situations. It was kind of one of those things where, and after doing that, it was kind of one of those things where he was like, okay, you finished? Okay, chew on this. He brought back to my mind this verse in Matthew 6, 14 through 15. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive others of their sins, your Father will not forgive you yours. And I had heard that, and I had read that, and I had heard teachings on that verse there. And like I said, I'd heard it many times, but it was kind of one of those things where it was like, okay, yeah, that's fine. I got it. Let's move on. It was like, yeah, I know, yada, 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 forgive other people, blah, blah, blah. Okay, get on to whatever you're going to talk about next. But this time it kind of was one of the, and I don't know if you guys have ever experienced it, where you read something for so many times and then all of a sudden you read it again years later or weeks later and your eyes are opened to it in a way that you've never seen it before. And God gives you an understanding that you never had before. And this was one of those times. And he began to show me that how much bitterness and division the unforgiveness was causing in my relationships with other people and in my heart. And most importantly, it was something that was keeping me from a deeper relationship with Christ also, that I had never thought about, I didn't even know. And I felt myself in that moment finally giving that forgiveness in those situations to others or for certain situations that I didn't even realize, like I said, I didn't even realize that I hadn't, that there was no reconciliation there, that I hadn't forgiven those people or hadn't forgiven them for saying that or doing that, whether it was to me or to my family. And I really, in this whole situation, the only reason that I ever opened up this can of worms of unforgiveness was, and worry and pride, is that I took the time to, God brought this to me, so I took the time to check it in myself. And only then did I realize that it was a stronghold in my own life. And it was something that I had not dealt with the way that it should have been dealt with. And so to kind of bring all this kind of together a little bit, the main thing that I think God wanted me to try to impart to you guys in this teaching was to not be afraid to take a spiritual inventory in your life and to check on those things in your life where you're weak and where you're strong. And like if you're having a problem being humble, check where your pride's at. Check how prideful you've been and what your pride is in. If you seem to be worrying a lot, or I mean, if you seem to not have the peace of Christ that you should have or you did have at one time, and you don't have the confidence that you did have, check your worry, check your fear. Check those things, keep them in check. Or, you know, and one that I struggle with a lot and have to check all the time is feeling like my prayer life is a weakness. And making sure, and you know, in it's a weakness in that God, I feel like God isn't answering me or isn't speaking to me through it. Check your motives. Check how you're praying. Check the time you're giving prayer. Check the importance you're giving prayer. Because a lot of times, I can guarantee you that if you flip a weakness over, you'll figure out why it's a weakness. And there'll be something on the other end, something in your life, some stronghold in your life that's keeping something that should be a strength and something that God's given to you to be a strength to build his kingdom is a weakness because something in your flesh is a strength and it's stronger than it should be and you've left it unchecked. And it will keep you from fulfilling the plans that God has for you and living in the fullness that Christ has for you if you leave those things unchecked. And the more willing you are to do that and to address those issues, you'll find, and I'm not saying that these are like that I'm very strong in being humble, I'm very strong in being peaceful or very strong in forgiveness, but I did get stronger through this in those things, in all those things. Because I was willing to flip those problems and those weaknesses upside down and was willing to address them. And when you're willing to do that, you will get a deeper relationship with Christ that you didn't even, and you will become more in sync and more like Christ than you never even thought you could be before. And as you continue, like I said, as you continue to find those areas of problems and correct those issues, not just find them and push them off to the side, but correct those issues and bring those issues and leave them at God's feet, he will reveal more issues to you. And the funny thing is a lot of times people will be like, I don't know what's going on. I feel like I'm serving God, but there's things in my life keep popping up. What that is, and what God was showing me through this, is that the more you become like me, the more I'll show you these things in your life, in these areas in your life, that you're not serving me and that you didn't even realize were a problem, that you thought were okay, that you thought you were fine, that's not even a sin. That's just a thing. That's just who I am. And the more you become like Christ, the more he will reveal to you that those need to be checked, that those need to be weakened, those strongholds need to be weakened. And through that, you will become more like Christ, and that's a good thing. So whenever you're thinking that these things keep popping up in your life and all of a sudden now I think I have a problem with anger, or I have a problem with this, or I have a problem with that, that's God showing you that's God bringing you closer to him. And the more we become like Christ, the more you can see the areas in your life that are lacking, and the more you will address those. And I think that in in where he says in the first verse that I used in, what is it, Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 12, 9, it says, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. The things of the flesh, my power is made perfect in weakness." You know, the things of the flesh need to become weak in order that God's power can become strong. So that was kind of what he had placed on my heart to talk about that. Not to look at this verse the way that you would normally would, or not for it for this particular time, but to look at it as make those strongholds weaker and those weaknesses that the fruits of the Spirit and the things that God has given you and the things that God wants for you that are weak will become stronger. And so that's kind of all I've got.
Amen. Who would you like to close? But before that, before he even got up today, I already had him set up for another teaching. He didn't mention that. Who would you like to close?
Brian.
Outstanding job, Matt. Outstanding. Lord, just thank you, Lord. Thank you for Matt's teaching, Lord God, and let us take it to heart today, Lord. I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that we would do that spiritual inventory, Lord, that Matt talked about this morning, Father. Lord, we just thank you for that teaching, and Lord, we just pray your blessing on today's service, on the worship. Lord, may it be pleasing to your ears, and Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Prayer down front.